camera. You gotta focus your lens. You gotta capture the good. You gotta develop the negative. And you gotta take another shot. Spoke that a couple of months ago. A little bit of time after that I said, you're like a penny. You have worth. You are marked. You've been found. And how will you spend your life? And not too long ago I spoke in a similar mode. I said that relationships are like a game of football. Teamwork. Teamwork makes the dream work. You're a defender. You've got to defend the one that you love. Stand up for them. Even in relationships, we all need a little bit of extra time from time to time. We've got to celebrate together. And sometimes a referee is needed. And who best to have a referee in your relationship than the one who loves people, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that says, this is in and that's out. Ah, bless the Lord. And so this morning I have another like for you this morning. Do you want to go on a journey with me this morning? Okay, this morning's message is, your experience is like visiting the circus. Your experience is like being at the circus. You see, there is one thing that we all have this morning, and that is experience. You have experience. I have experience. You have experience of walking with God. You have experience of believing in the Lord Jesus. You have experience of working. Have experience of going to college or doing a course. You may have experience of parenting. We have a lot of experience in different ways and in different areas. And so we all have experience of some kind. Don't you have experience? And so this morning what I want to do is I want to have a look at some of the activities that are found in a circus. And you may say to yourself, like I said to myself, hey, that's a little bit like my experience as I walk with God and as I walk the journey of faith and the journey of life. Will you come on a journey with me this morning? I have four experiences for you this morning. And the first one is, do you remember when you went to the circus as a child or maybe even as an adult? And there's lots of different acts and different performers and different entertainers. And one of the people that you will see at a circus is the person that juggles. Can you remember? Oh, I remember when I was a kid and I'd go to the circus and you'd see the person that was doing the juggling act. And sometimes what they would do is they would juggle bowling pins. Have you ever seen them juggle bowling pins? And then sometimes you may see them juggling things like knives or even things that are set on fire. And everybody that's in the auditorium, everybody that's at the circus, they're all thinking the same thing. Wow! Look at the ability of this juggler. Have you ever said that to yourself? Have you ever seen somebody juggle? And you said to yourself, wow, they have great ability to be able to juggle. But it's not only the ability, but it's also the amount. Because the juggler, they don't just juggle one thing or two things. They juggle maybe three or four. And if they're a really good juggler, they may even go five, six, seven, eight, because they're keeping it all in the air. They're juggling and juggling, and everybody's watching, and everybody's saying, wow, and look at the juggler. Do you know what I realized? That's my experience. And that's your experience. Everybody is juggling something. Some people are juggling many things. Have you ever considered about your life and your experience of what you are juggling? Look at the lady in the picture. She's juggling her music lessons. She's juggling her time. She's juggling her car. She's juggling her dog. She's juggling everything. Oh, people are juggling so much these days. We live in a world where men and women and parents and young people, they're juggling so much these days. They've got their church life to juggle. They've got their home life to juggle. They've got their work life to juggle. They've got their community life to juggle. They've got their social media life to juggle. And their Facebook posts and their Instagram posts. Oh, there's so much to juggle. Are you juggling this morning? Has it been your experience on the life of faith and on the life of the path that God has called you, where you feel yourself, I'm juggling, I'm trying to keep it all in the air. It's just like the juggler at the circus. people are juggling so much these days. And do you know something? That at the circus, everybody that's sitting in the seats and they're all watching the person that is juggling, there is one thing that they do not know, that only the juggler knows. There is one thing that all the people who are spectating don't see, but only the juggler sees. And do you know what it is? It's the internal pressure of juggling. Mm-hmm. See, all the spectators, they don't see the pressure. All the spectators that's looking at the one that is juggling, they do not know the internal pressure of trying to keep it all going, trying to keep it all moving. The only one that experiences that, the only one that knows that, is the juggler themselves. They know their own heart. They know their own internal pressure. And so it is in your life and mine. When you're juggling, there is an internal anxiety, there is an internal pressure that only you know, because you're the one that's juggling, you're the one that's trying to keep it all going. Have you ever experienced that in your life? Where you experience the internal pressure or worry or anxiety that's going on in your heart because you're desirous to keep it all going, because you don't want to let anything fall, because if anything falls, they'll see it and you don't want them to laugh at you. The words of Jesus in John chapter 2, he said these words. He said, I know what's in a man. And this morning I am confident that the Lord Jesus, your Lord, your Savior, knows what's going on internally in your heart. He sees what no other man can see. He knows what no other man knows. He can see what's going on inside you. And you know why? Because he's placed his spirit within you. And so therefore, if the Holy Spirit dwells in your heart, he knows what's going on the inside that nobody else can see. And so this morning, our experience, that is our experience of walking with God and the experience of faith, sometimes it's like being at the circus and the first act is juggling. Maybe you're juggling a lot this morning. Maybe you're juggling a lot in your life. Have you asked yourself, what is it that I'm juggling? What is it that I'm trying to keep on going and I do not want to fall? Will we go on to the second act? Ah, so there you go. Ah, do you remember going to the circus? And you got your popcorn, and you got your drink, and you sit down, and you're ready to see everybody perform, and you think, wow, this is brilliant. I love being at the circus, and I love seeing all the acts and all the performers, and you see the juggler, and he goes off, and you're waiting for the next act, and then the next act, everybody's eyes is drawn up, because they're looking up, because the next act that's about to perform is the tightrope walker. Have you ever seen somebody walk a tightrope? Oh, it's an amazing act. I couldn't do it. Oh man, because everybody's watching, because there's a rope, and the person, they start at one end, and their goal and their destination is to get to the other end without falling, because they don't want to fall, because that's the whole purpose. And everybody's thinking, wow, isn't that amazing? You know, this walking the tightrope really is about two things. The first thing is, it's all about balance. You see, the one that walks the tightrope has to maintain balance. They have to balance their body, they have to balance their feet, they have to balance their steps. Oh, there's just one thing that we need in life, and that's a good balance, isn't it? We need a good balance, to have a healthy balance in our lives, that as we follow the Lord, and that as we live life, in the busyness of life, and in the challenges that come our way, we need a good, healthy balance. It's good to have a healthy, balanced life, where you have a balance between the things in your life, whether it's home life, or church life, work life, college life, all of these areas of our lives, we're seeking to have a balance. And even as we follow the Lord, that we have a balance between the Word and the Spirit and His presence, that there is a good balance balance. But the second thing about walking the tightrope is it's all about balance, but it's also about focus. You see, the one that walks the tightrope has to really, not only belt, but they have to focus on their next step, because they're watching their feet and they're trying not to look down. They're keeping their eyes on the tightrope and they're trying not to be distracted. If there is any distractions from anybody in the crowd, or they're just trying to focus. Friends, we have to focus. Don't you have to focus?
Yeah.
Isn't it about gaining and developing a good balance in your life? A balance by walking in step with the Spirit. But it's also about focus. Who is our focus? The Lord Jesus Christ. He's your focus. Just fix your eyes on Him. The writer to the Hebrews, who wrote the book of Hebrews, he said these words. He says, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of your faith. Friends, focus on the Lord Jesus. You can't go wrong. He will lead you. He will go before you. He'll take you by the hand and say, walk with me. And when you're walking with Him, you just look at Him. Fix your eyes. He's your focus. Many people in the world, they focus on getting something else, or getting a car, or getting a kitchen, getting more money, looking at the bank. Ah, we do those things from time to time. But in the core of our lives, in the core of our faith, the Lord Jesus, who went to Calvary, and on the third day He rose again, He is your focus. He's the best focus. All you have to do is look to Him by faith. You say, Lord, I'm looking to You. I'm fixing my eyes on You. So therefore, as I look to You, I know that You will walk with me. So walking the tightrope is some act. It's all about balance, all about focus. And I've heard people actually describe their experiences by using that type of language, by using that type of terminology. They've said, oh, in my work it's like walking a tightrope. And what they're really saying is that they are in an atmosphere of negativity or criticism, and they're afraid to take one wrong step, one wrong move, make one wrong word, and they'll fall. Have you ever explained or heard somebody use that type of picture, that type of terminology? What they're saying is, I'm in an atmosphere where I feel like I'm walking a tightrope. I feel like I'm afraid to move. If you're ever in that type of zone, just continue to keep your balance with the Lord. And just continue to fix your eyes on Him and say, Lord, I'm walking with You. I'm keeping my eye on You. And He will lead you through that. And He will lead you out the other side of that. Because He is committed to you as you are committed to Him. His hold on your life is stronger than your faith in Him. He has a hold of you and He will not let you go.
Amen.
So if you've ever felt like you're walking a tightrope, just continue to focus your eyes on Jesus and He will bring you out the other side. Ah, but we're going to the next act. Here we go. She might as well. Bless the Lord. Ah, place soon. Have you seen this one? Have you? Bless the Lord. We've all been to the circus and we've all seen this act, haven't we? What the person does is, right, and you know what I'm going to say is, they get a stick and they get a plate. I don't have a stick, I don't have a plate. But they begin to spin it. And then they get another stick. And then they get another plate, they spin that one, then they get another one, and they spin that one. And they go from one stick and one plate to two, to three, to four, to five. And if they're really good, they can get all the way up to 10. And that's an amazing act. Can you remember seeing the plate spin in that? Oh, it's amazing how they do that. Oh, I was in class there in work with some of the tiddling guys recently. And one of the lecturers from IT Carlo, he's a great guy, like, and this act came up in the discussion. And he said to me, he says, Alan, do you know that plate spinning act is actually a picture of bad management? And I was like, oh, is it there now? Okay, so go and tell me, what do you mean by that? And he said, here, think about it. He says, the person starts off with one and they spin one, they go from one to two to two to three to three to four. But what happens is when they get to spin plate number 10, plate number one is slowing down, so they have to run back. to plate number one to get that one going again, run back to plate number nine, and actually what it does is it sucks you in to a place where you're running and you're rushing around like a headless chicken because you're trying to keep all of these plates spinning and you've no control, and your fear is that if one falls, they'll all fall, and so therefore it brings you in to a place of chaos. And I thought, yeah, you're right, man. You are so right. Have you ever been sucked into a situation in life where you feel like, I don't know what's going on here. Everything is spinning around. I don't know what the order is. I don't know where I'm going. Oh, everything is just spinning. Ah, oh. Where you're running and you're rushing. You get into this mode of life where everything is spinning. You just don't know what's going on. Plate spinning. You know something? That's not the place of God. Do you remember these words? From the psalmist, the most famous psalm of all, Psalm 23. And the psalmist said these things. And it's actually a description of the places of God. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me through paths of righteousness for his name's sake. You see, these are the places of God. The place of God is a place of stillness. It's a place of restoration. It's a place of quietness. It's a place where we know his provision. It's a place where we know that he is our shepherd. It's a place where we are following him. And so he leads us to these quiet, still waters. He leads us to a place where he makes us lie down so that we're resting and we know the reassurance of his love for our heart. And so this is the place of God. The place of God is not chaos. He leads us out of chaos to a place where we are just still with him. He leads us out of a place of running and rushing and chaos to a place where we are assured of his love. A place where we are walking with him and we know, Lord, you are my shepherd. You lead me. You provide for me. You make me lie down, because he recognizes that we all need rest. And when you're resting, that's the place where your heart is reassured of his love. They are the places of God. Hey, plate spinning, it's another act. I've got one more act for you. Will I show it to you? Come on, might as well. We're on a journey this morning. Ah, sure. You couldn't go to the circus without seeing lots of different performers. So that's why they're there. Isn't that why they're there? They're entertainers. They put on a show. And I suppose every circus has one person, and it's him or her, the clown. And the thing about the clown is, they always have a smile on their face, don't they? That's the way they are. That's what they do. They come out and they bring a smile to everybody's face, and they have a painted smile on their face, but we all know it's not a real smile. Don't you know that? Mm-hmm. That the smile on the clown's face is only a fake smile. Actually, what happens is when the circus is over and everybody goes home to the coziness of their own lives and their own homes, what happens is the clown goes into his dressing room and he takes off his costume and he looks in the mirror and he wipes off the smile. And then he sees the true reflection of himself. Can I say one thing to you? I am not liking you, the children of God, to a clown. Hear me in that. I love you too much to think of such a thing. But what I am saying is this. There are times where you may feel that your experience is putting on a smile for other people, when in your own heart you feel sad. But you feel down. God has called you not to perform for other people. He's not called you to be an entertainer. What I mean is to entertain other people. He's called you to be yourself. And you know what the best person of being yourself is? You! No one could be you, only you! You're the best person of being yourself. And so he's called you just to be yourself before him. And so therefore, You'll have days where you will have a smile on your face, you'll be happy because you've got joy in your heart and you just rejoice in that. And there'll also be other times and other experiences where you're sad. And when you're sad, don't be afraid to be sad. Don't be afraid to be in touch with who you are. You don't have to put on a Sunday smile for me. You don't have to put on a Sunday smile for anybody else. All you have to do is just be yourself. When God called each of the apostles, he called Peter. He didn't say to Peter, "Now I want you to pretend to be John. And John, I want you to pretend to be Andrew." No, he just wanted them to be themselves and follow him. And so this morning, Jesus said these words. He said, "The kingdom of God is like..." And he got his disciples to look at the different things because he was teaching them. Your experience may be like when you visited a circus when you were small. It might be the case where you're juggling quite a lot. You're keeping a lot in the air. You might have quite a lot to juggle. And nobody sees the internal pressure that's going on in your heart. Can I assure you this morning that the Lord Jesus knows? He sees the turbulence within your spirit. He knows you. You belong to him. He loves you. And you may have to choose to lay down some things so that you're not juggling beyond your own capacity. God has given you a lovely gift, and it's the gift of choice. And so there are some things that we just simply can't lay down. But there are other things where you may say to yourself, "Yes, I'm going to lay that down because I'm juggling quite a lot." You may have to choose. Or maybe this morning it has been your experience where you feel like you're walking a tightrope. Continue just to fix your eyes on Jesus. He is the one that will bring balance to your heart and balance to your faith. Continue to just look to him and place your faith in him. Give him your hand and allow him to lead you forward. Remember that God has called you into a place of peace and a place of faith, a place of rest. He's not called you into chaos. He's not called you into this type of lifestyle or mode where you're running here and rushing there. Yes, there are times when we're busy, but we can't live like that. He's called you to a place where he is your shepherd. And I think that's what he wants to do this morning, is to remind some people that he is your good shepherd. He is the one that has promised to provide for you. He is the one that has called you and will make you lie down so that you have a rest. And when you're resting in his presence and when you're resting in his word, you will know the reassurance of his love. And you are a child of God. You are holy and dearly loved. You're not a clown. You are precious to the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave his life for you because you are worth saving. There is a high value and a high price on your life. Christ went to the cross. It wasn't a performance. He wasn't entertaining. He wasn't putting on a show, but it was an act of love. And so this morning, the Lord Jesus would say to you that you belong to him. He loves you dearly. And all he wants you to do is just be yourself. If you're happy, smile. If you're sad, be sad in his presence. Just be yourself. You don't have to put on a smile for everybody. He hasn't called you to do that. The best person at being you is you. I could try to be like you, but I'd never achieve it because you're the best person at being you. Just be yourself. And so this morning, we all have experience. We all have different experiences. And maybe this morning, some of the things that I've spoken about have resonated with your heart. Maybe you're juggling quite a lot. Maybe you feel like you're walking a tightrope and you're afraid you might fall. If you do fall, always remember that you'll fall into his hands and you'll fall into his arms because he has you. He has his tight, loving arms around your life. And so this morning I'm going to lead us around the table. And the Word of God gives us some instruction as we come around the table. It says, everybody ought to examine themselves before they eat the bread and drink of the cup. And so maybe we might have some instrumental music in the background. And just during this moment, during this time, just reflect upon your life. Just reflect upon your experiences. And as you reflect and as you ponder, we're going to come around the table and just reflect upon your own heart before God. Paul said these words. He said, on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Dear gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for these gifts this morning, Jesus. We thank you that we are your children, and you are our Father. You're the one who picks us up and holds us in your arms. I give you thanks for the bread this morning, which is symbolic of the broken body of the Lord Jesus on Calvary's cross. We remember you, Lord Jesus, and we remember how you gave yourself for each one of us this morning. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And so, God our Father, we give you thanks for the juice this morning, which is symbolic of the blood of Jesus that was shed for each one of us here this morning. His blood cleanses all sin. And so this morning we proclaim that Jesus is Savior, that he is Lord, and we come to you this morning. Could I invite Tiago and Marilia to come and help me serve? Would you be okay with that?